actually Korach, there's a lot to talk about in the Parsha. By the way, those who listen to the Parsha Shir, I mentioned last week online, it's going to be moving to OU.org, the Parsha Shir. So it'll be from YU, but it'll be, this last week it'll be on both, but next week it'll be just on OU.org. You'll see it, it's on the front page. A ha'ara that I saw the Sha'ar Mitzvot Balacha makes. And that is, we know, in the beginning of the Parsha, we have Korach and all 250 men, and Own Ben Peles, and Dasan Baviram, and they all are punished. Except for one person, we don't know what happened to them in the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, Own Ben Peles disappears. We don't know what happens to Own Ben Peles. We have to look in the Gemara for that. So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, came up in Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago, Sanhedrin, Daf, Kuf, Tes, Amid, Beis, Kuf, Yudam, and Aleph, that Own Ben Peles, his wife, saved him. What happened? His wife realizes that Korach should not be followed, so she gives him a lot of wine to drink, she makes him drunk, he goes back in the tent, then he goes to sleep in the tent, and she sits at the front of the tent, she takes off her head covering. She sits there without her hair covered. She's sitting there. So then whenever anybody would pass by, anybody would go, oh, I can't look. It's amazing. They were ready to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, but they wouldn't look at a woman without her hair covered. So it shows a certain value system. But that's what she did. And in that way, nobody came close to the tent, and in that way she was able to save her husband. That's what the Gemara says. Just a one little ha'ara, and then we'll see if there's any time for any more. From the Shem Tiana Balacha, on that Gemara, why did she uncover her hair? Out of all the things she could have done, she could have started singing, she could have rolled up her sleeves. I mean, why did the hair? See, connected it to a Gemara, I don't see anybody else connect to it, but it's beautiful. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin, tells us of a woman named Kimchis. Learn about Kimchis? You ever do the sugi of Kisi Rosh for women? Kimchis was a woman who always had her hair covered, even inside her house. So Chumrah. Right? The Gemara says the wall of her house never saw her hair uncovered. I'm not saying that this should be normative behavior. I'm not even saying it's Malach HaFilu today. But I'm saying this was a story the Gemara tells. Yuma Daf Mem Zayin. And the Gemara there says, because Kimchis did this, she was Zocha to seven children who were B'nai Kahanim Gedolim. It was Zocha to be in the family of the Kohen Gadol. So the Sharon Sayyid Balacha just put these two Gemaras together. She wanted, Ben Peles' wife wanted to prevent him from being the Kohen Gadol, from following Korach, from following. So what'd she do? She uncovered her hair. Because she knew the schus of the tznius of this mitzvah. If you go extreme in that way, then you're Zocha to have B'nai Kohanim Gadol. So that's why Dafka, she did this to be able to make sure that her husband was not Zocha to that. Should we start the shir or should we do one more? Are they still coming? What do you say? One more. Okay. Is that because we want one more or is that because... Okay. One more. Okay. What? We'll have time. I mean, so... Sorry? We'll do both. Oh, you meant that as... I got it. Okay, connecting. Ilveil does connect to Parshas Korach. Okay, there's one other thought. It's an interesting, important Rambam that you should be aware of. It's important Rambam. If you never saw the Rambam, you should look it up inside sometime today. And so you can see it. We know the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that there were 10 items that were created at Bein HaShemashos. The last few moments of day 6 of creation, the last few moments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu got in a few more creations. The Mishnah tells us, Asar Dvar Nivra Bein HaShemashos. And the first one on the list, Ki Haaretz, the mouth of the Aretz that opened up to swallow Korach, that was created, that event was created at Bein HaShemashos. And we also have next week's Parsha, Piha Aton is on the list, right? The donkey that spoke to Bilam. And the Keshet, the rainbow, the mon, the mata that Moshe Rabbeinu used, the luchos, the bear, all these different creations. So what's the message? What does it mean that it was created at Bein HaShemashos? What does that mean? So the Rambam writes on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that really every single miracle in the history of the world was really created Bein HaShemashos and during Ma'aseh Bereishis. These 10 are really Lav Dafka. Okay, these 10 were at the last seconds. But really, every miracle is created Bein HaShemashos. Meaning, the Rambam says, every miracle that was going to take place was pre-programmed from the beginning of the world. Because says the Rambam, if we don't take that view, if we say that Hashem had to stop nature at one point in history, Kriyas Yamsuf, He had to make water flow upstream. If He had to do that, you know what that would reflect? Says the Rambam, that would show an imperfection in the world. Oh, it's not nature, it's not good enough. At this moment, I have to change something. You can't say that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created a perfect world. So the only way to say it, says the Rambam, is to say that every miracle was pre-programmed for Ma'aseh Rishis. Forevermore, water is supposed to flow downstream. That's natural. But at this moment in history, it's going to be natural to flow upstream. Normally, animals don't talk. But at this moment in history, animals going to talk. Maybe by the Nachash, was one time. And here, by the Aton. Says the Rambam in that Mishnah, that's what you have to say. That's the pshat of Nivru Ben Hashmashes. That every nace was pre-programmed, because if you don't say that, so then it'll reflect an imperfection in history. That is the Rambam. So if you put it in this way, if you look at it, all nace, according to the Rambam, is really teva that we're not used to. Because it was all pre-programmed. It's all natural. It's from beforehand. But normal rules of nature is something that we're used to. And miracles is nature that we're not used to. You just put in parentheses, you can contrast this. I don't think this is a little maisa machlokas, but at least in conceptual analysis, to the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Many of you might be familiar with it. Ramban there said that everything in our world is nace. There's no such thing as teva. So it's kind of the opposite. The Ramban said that all nace is really teva. The Ramban says all teva is really nace. So if you look at these two sources, we could give a little mini shiur on this. This Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Avos on this Mishnah versus the Ramban. Again, Lamaisa, there's not really a difference, but in terms of Lamdis, it seems like, how do you characterize the world? Do you characterize it as all nace? Do you characterize it as all teva? How are we doing? Back from Asa? Are there still more guys there?
There's a lot more
guys. What? Okay, we're going to start the shiur now. Okay, we'll start the shiur, and then if we have time at the end, we'll say some more. We'll see. You know what? I'll say one more line. One more. Then we'll get into the shiur. That the Korach says that ki kol ha'edon kulam kedoshim. This is just a 30-second one. Is it in Shabbos to Shabbos?
Yeah,
so you don't need really Divrei Torah. I guess you go to somebody's house. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. You always need Divrei Torah, right? Well, all the nation is holy. Kol ha'eda. So ask one of the Achronim, what's the double lashon? Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Just say kol ha'eda kedoshim. Ki ha'eda kulam kedoshim. What's the double lashon of kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim? This one, the Tali Oros, he quotes. Maybe it's based on a Taz. The Taz says in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, we say, Meloch HaKol HaOlam Kula Bechodecha, V'hina Zeh HaKol HaOlam Bikarecha. So there too, Meloch HaKol HaOlam Kula. What does that mean? Kol HaOlam Kula Bechodecha. Just say Kol HaOlam. Or HaOlam Kula. The double Lashon. Kol HaOlam Kula. What's the double Lashon? Says the Taz is in Simin, Tuf Kuf Pei Beis. I think it's the Tuf Kuf Pei Beis. Tav Kupay Bey says the Taz, it's to make sure we don't say Rubo Kukula. Because we know in other areas of Halacha we say Rove is good enough. Rubo Kukula. So don't think that way. That's not what we're dominating for. I'm Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Meloch Al Kol HaOlam Kulo. Not Rubo Kukulo. Mamish the entire world. Kol HaOlam Kulo Befodeh. That's what the Taz says in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So says the Tali Oros, quoting one of the Achronim, maybe that's what Korach meant. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Every single Jew is holy. What does Rashi say in that pasuk? We were all at Har Sinai. Every single Jew was at Har Sinai. Not Rubo Kukulo. You think you're better? Everybody's just like you, Moshe. That's his emphasis. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, like the Taz says, Meloch ha'kol ha'ulam kulo b'chvodech. Okay. The Shir is also a partial part. If you could say it in that way. Yeah. Any more marmikomos? Are there some over there? I have one extra one. Okay. The question is, what exactly did Korach do wrong? After all, he was a big Talmud Chacham, Chazal say, and he knew a lot of Torah. He was a Pikeach, Chazal say. So the question is, why don't we apply the principle to Korach of Elu ve'Elu? Devar Yalakim Chayim. Right? What was the matter? No, Korach, Moshe, Elu Ve'elu. What exactly did Korach do wrong? Hopefully we'll get back to that at the end of this year. Elu Ve'elu is a concept that, you know, we always say and know, but do we really think about it so much? No, the third grader comes home from school, learns about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and he comes home and he's learning with his father. He learns, he's like, but Abba, who's right? So the father says, as the father was taught in the third grade, they're both right. And the son looks at him and says, what do you mean they're both right? In any other subject in school, there aren't both rights. 2 + 2 only has one answer. Right? Gravity has one definition. And every other area of study in life is a right and there's a wrong. And then all of a sudden, they're both right.
They're both right.
How can they both be right? Is it us or is it mutter? Is it kosher or is it treif? So what does that concept mean, Elu Ve'elu? Is there really a concept of multiple truths in Judaism? How are we supposed to understand Elu Ve'elu? So, the structure, as we'll see the background where this concept, where this phrase comes from. Two Gemaras in that relate to it. Then we'll see that there are really three general approaches in the Mefarshim to Elu Ve'elu. How we understand Elu Ve'elu, and then at the end we'll come up and wrap up and then connect back to Korach as well. So the source of this concept is the Gemara in Erevin and Daf Yud Gimel in this first paragraph. Says the Gemara, source number one, Amar Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Yochanan, Talmud Ha'ilal Rabbi Meir V'Sumcha Shmo. It was a man named Sumchas. Shehaya Omer HaKol Davar V'Davar Shal Tuma Arba'im B'Shmona Tami Tuma Yachol Davar V'Davar Shal Tara Arba'im B'Shmona Tami Tara. He used to be able to give 48 reasons for every halacha. 48 reasons why this is Tameh and 48 reasons why this is Tahar. He was amazing. And then Tana, the Gemara says, is even a greater student. Talmud Vasik Hayav Yavne. There was a very special Talmud in Yavne. Vasik from the word Vasikin. Vasikin. Vasikin doesn't mean you dominates. Vasikin means very punctilious, pious people. That's what Vasikin means. So it means they davenates, but it's not, Vasikin doesn't translate to davening names. So here, Talmud Vasik was this very special student in Yavne. Shahaya Mitar as a Sheretz, B'meyav HaChamishin Tzamin. He was able to give 150 reasons why a Sheretz is Tahar. Meaning, against Halacha. Against the Halacha. He used to give 150 reasons to explain something that was wrong, so to speak. This is all background as we get up to the next line. Line 11. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel. Shalosh shanim nechlaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. For 3 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had arguments. Halalo Amar Malachok Moseinu. The Halalo Amar Malachok Moseinu. They each said, the halacha should be like us. Beis Shammai said the halacha should be like us. Beis Hillel should be like us. Yotza bas kol v'yamra. So what's the source of this line? Shammayim. A bas kol goes out and says, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chai. They're both words of the living God. The Baal Shem Tov adds on, though, b'halacha k'beis hillel. That's it. You're both right. Halacha k'beis hillel. But you're both right. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chai. Says the Gemara. V'chim yachar she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim v'bnei ma zachu beis hillel k'vo halacha k'mosan. If they're both right, why did beis hillel win? Why did he win to get the halacha like him? Mipnei two reasons. Number one, mipnei shenochin va'aluvin hayu. They were humble. They were humble. They were meek. Vishonin divrehem v'divrei Beis Shammai. They not only studied their own words, but they studied the words of Beis Shammai. V'lo od el shemakdim v'divrei Beis Shammai v'divrehem. But a lot of times they studied Beis Shammai's words even before them. So on the simple level, this means, oh, Hashem rewarded them. They were humble, they studied all the opinions, and in that way Hashem rewarded them with a schar. My Rabbi Reb Rosenzweig once said, it's not just that they were humble, but focus on the Gemara. When you study the other opinion and you still say your own opinion, that shows true conviction. That shows that, oh, they must be right. Because sometimes we're in a chavrusa, we're screaming at each other. You're saying one thing, I'm saying another thing. So are we really listening to each other? We're screaming at each other. Right? We're talking at each other, but not talking with each other. The galus of the chavrusa is that you really try to focus and understand the other opinion. And then you say, like, yeah, but I still think I'm right. Even after trying to understand the other opinion. That was the galus of Beis Hillel. They weren't only humble, but they studied Beis Shammai, and they understood Beis Shammai, and they still said their opinion. Oh, so that's why we possibly like Beis Hillel, if they had such conviction to do that. But this is the source of the concept of Elu Ve'elu, a basko goes out from Shammai. A similar Gemara doesn't quote this line, but a similar Gemara is quoted in Maseches Chagiga, the second daf in Chagiga on Daf Gimel. Gemara there, doctrines of Pasuk and Koheles. Devar Chachamim Kedar Bonos, Ukamas Neiros, the Tuim, Baalei Asufos, the ones who gather, Nitznu Meroa Echod. What does that mean? So we can skip a couple of lines. Line 12. Baalei Asufos, Elu Talmidei Chachamim. She Yoshvin Asufos Asufos. The ones who gather are the rabbis that sit all in groups. Va'oskin Batorah, and they learn, and they are Oskin Batorah. Halolo Matamin, Balolo Matarin. Halolo Oskin, Balolo Matirin. They all say different things. Halolo Poslin, Balolo Machirin. Shema Yomer Adam. Heichani Lama Torah Me'ata. Somebody walks into the Beis and says, there are 14 different opinions. How am I supposed to learn anything? Answer, Tamalomar. The Pasuk continues, Kulam Nitnu Me'roa Echad. It all, though, has the same source. It's all given from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, there's machlokas. There are different opinions, but it all comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it doesn't use the phrase here, but Eilu ve'eilu, Devar Elokim Chaim, is the concept that is expressed in this Gemara. So the question is, what does that mean? What does Eilu ve'eilu mean? How exactly are we supposed to understand this concept? Are there really multiple truths in Halacha? So, three general approaches in the Mefarshim. The first one is the minority of view. I remember I was once... I think I gave a share on this many, many years ago. I remember I was in the, I was getting glasses. Next to one of my in-laws in Borough Park. So I remember I had my Makoros, or one of the Makoros with me at the time, so I was just looking at it, somebody looks over my shoulder, Hasidish fellow, and he says, oh, you're giving shear? So I was talking about the sugya, he spoke English, it was great, and then I was telling him about the different opinions, so I quoted this first view. So he said, oh, you gotta be careful who you say that to. Say what? He says, hey, you gotta be careful. It's a dangerous view. I said, I understand, but in the context of a shear, you know, it's a chidah, it's a ram, as we'll see. So you can view it, but in Echanami, we want us to realize that this first view has its dangers to it, but it's a view. It's a view in the Mefarsh. So what is the first view? Let's see it in the words of the chidah. Source number four. The chidah, one of the most prolific rabbanim that we have, they say he wrote 71 svarim, for one for each year of his life. Of 71 years, the Chidah, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the most famous of his svarim is the Birkei Yosef on Shulchan Aruch. It's the one that is used. But he wrote a number of svarim on Gemara, Pesach Inayim, he also wrote Chaim Sha'al, different svarim. So the Chidah, in source number 4, on that Gemara in Erevin says, where in source number 4, Demashikot Leveilu Ve'elu Debri Lukim Chaim, Ein Pirusho Tishneim MS, says the Chidah, it's not true. They're not both right. It doesn't mean they're both true. Ella Leos de Ein Haor Nikar Ella Mitocha Choshech. But since light is only appreciated with the background of darkness, a candle does nothing during the day. Nimsa de Hasvara Haminagedes Toil Lahavin Hetev Hasvara Haamitis Be'etzen. An amazingly radical opinion. Says the Chidah, there's one opinion that's true and right. The other opinion helps us better understand the right opinion. The contrast helps. If you only have one thing, you don't understand it so much. Oh, if you see the opposite, sometimes you understand, in a Hakira, you have a Hakira in the Gemara. So you hear one side of the Hakira, you don't really understand this side of the Hakira until you have the other side of the Hakira. Right, if you just have the word chefza, you don't appreciate it until you have gavra. If you have gavra, now you understand the uniqueness of chefza. If you get two different ideas, then the backdrop of one helps one appreciate the essence of the opinion that is being focused on. So that's the chidah. You know what? Let's say Beishamai is choshech. That's what he says. Beis Hillel is the Arbi Shammai is the background for Beis Hillel's light. Umitzad zeh kari banami deri lekim chayim. And in this regard, it's called deri lekim chayim. Ula olam, but always the svara achas emes, v'hasvara achas eno emes. This is an opinion quoted in the Chidah, a very radical opinion. If we think it's only one of the achronim, the Ran suggests this as well in passing. Get to the question in a second, let's just finish this. The Ran suggests this in passing. The Ran in one of his drushes, in source number 5, talking about the Gemara of Messiah Nuntes. The Gemara known as Tanur Shel Achnai. Everybody knows the Gemara there. There's Machlokes, a detail of Tum and Tara, Machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. And Rav Elazar says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right, and a tree is going to get, that tree over there is going to prove that I'm right. And the tree goes and jumps to the other side of the field. And they say, don't bring me rice from trees. And then he says, if I'm right, the water is going to show that I'm right. And the river right next to them starts flowing upstream. And he says, wow. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, don't bring rice from the water. And he says, if I'm right, what's the next one? The walls of the Beis Medrash are going to prove that I'm right. And the walls start caving in. And they stop in the middle. They didn't want to cave all the way in because Rabbi Yeshua was there. They didn't want to go back up because Rabbi Elazar. They just stopped in the middle. So they didn't know what to do. So Rabbi Elazar says, if I'm right, Shemayim is going to say that I'm right. And a Vasco goes out and says, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Yeshua says, sorry, lo bashamayimi. Lo bashamayimi. And after that, they excommunicate Rabbi Elazar. That's the story. That's what we see in the text. So in the context of that, which is, that relates to Elu ve'Elu, it also relates to another great topic that's related, how much could heavenly intervention influence Halacha? Right, that's also a separate, connected to Elu ve'Elu, but a separate topic. So says the Ron, relating to that Gemara. Why didn't they answer? Why didn't they listen to him? Why didn't they listen to the Vasco? So line three. Vapir Jetzlihu. Tiachacham Yatir Sveikas Atarashu Yisorako. Achacham will answer of the questions. Vishmael of Anavi Al Karcha. And the Navi will listen to him. Via Manavi Yotir Lachacham Dover. Vimishmatea Torah. She Yuvi Uhu Bisadavuaso. If a Navi goes over to a Chacham and says, this is what I just got a prophecy about. Lo Yishmael of Klam. That's what you see from the Gemara. No heavenly intervention is allowed when it comes to figuring out what the psak is. Hine ro kulam, they all saw. These are the two lines. Shir Rabbi Eliezer maskim ela emes yoser mehem. Rabbi Eliezer got to the truth more than them. Because that was the heavenly, that was the basko. V'chiyo sosef kulam amitim sokim. He made great signs from Shemayim. V'yafal pikein asu maisa kaskam asam. They didn't listen to it. Why? Since their seichel said tamei, here's the key words. Afapi shahayu yodim, shahayu maskimim lahefich min haemes. Even though they knew they were getting to the opposite of the truth. What's the opposite of the truth? Something that's not true. He doesn't say the first line. He just said more true, but here he says hefich min haemes. If you take that literally, so Ron is saying, they got to go by their sheker psak. But inherently, elu ve'elu is only one true psak. Lo ratzu l'tar by over what they return him ahi matarim. If they would have been matar, they would have violated. Kibush a sichlam chiyev l'tame shachra nimsur l'chachmi adoros, etc. So the Ron might be the roots of the chida, Ron and the Rishonim. But this is the first view, again a minority view, a very minority view. A radical view, but this is view number one. Anybody have any problems with this view? Like this view? Makes things very simple, but it's somewhat problematic. Yeah. So there is a source like that. I don't think it's infallible. That we're going to pass on like Beishami in the future. I think it's like a Kabbalistic source. I'm not even sure what the source is, but it's a Kabbalistic source. So maybe then the MS will be different. Yeah. At the beginning, Kadosh Baruch Hu being Osek and Kulagish Begibla, yeah. And even more than that. Even more than that. Yeah. So according to the Chidah and the Ran, that's what they will be saying. Elu ve'elu, meaning you need both to understand the true one, and that's why the halachah is like Mesilla, one might say. But it's difficult. I mean, even more than what Zev just said. How many dafim and shas do we have focused on shitas that we don't paskin like? Dafim and dafim and dafim. You need to understand those shitas so much to understand the correct shita. Sometimes you have three dafim about the shita we don't paskin like, and nothing about the shita we paskin like. It's very challenging to put this into, to accept this in terms of what we know, and even just hashkafically, what one person is wrong inherently, just it doesn't sit well with us. Besides the fact that there's so many dafim about shalola maisa and shitas that we don't paskin like, it's very challenging to take this really literally. Yeah.
So Tosfos also mentioned that dafim says that brings stuff in for one that one we don't hold the baskin. Right.
And also that even in this case, where Rabbi Elazar, Tosfos asked the question: when do you hold the
baskin? When do you not? Anything telling us for Rabbi Elazar is that pain, so there's harm.
Right.
So how can you say elu ve'elu?
So no, you could just say that the Vaskol came lefodo. But the Tosa's question is, why do you pass like the Vaskol of Elu ve'Elu, but you don't pass like the Vaskol like Rabbi Elazar? So he said that wasn't a real Vaskol. But still, you paskin like baskal veil veil that we do hold it because you go like Beis Hillel. So this is a shita again. If you push the chida against the wall and you say, do you really hold of this? I don't know. It's a radical shita. The Ran seems to say it. Maybe the Ran doesn't mean it as much, but again, that's the simple interpretation of the Ran. That is the first view. What most achronim say though is the middle view, and that is that there are different levels of emes. Different levels of emes. There are multiple truths in halacha. There are different levels of emes. There's more, something more emes and less emes, and different types of emes. The same thought is said in three different ways by three of the great achronim: Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov, and then Tziv. They all say the same thing, but all in different ways. So let's see at least two of them. Says Rav Moshe. When does Rav Moshe discuss this? In his introduction to his Tshuvas. The introduction to the Igros Moshe. It's two pages. So you have the beginning of it in source number 6, and there was a piece of it that got cut off, so I gave you the extra sheet that you're going to have be able to see the continuation. But says Rav Moshe, source number 6, the first paragraph that Rav Moshe writes, he says, I don't know why I'm writing the Tshuvas. I'm just a Pasha Yid, and I don't know why people ask me questions. People think I know, but in his humility, that's the first paragraph. Most of that, I don't know why people tell me to write these shuvas. So now he's trying to explain why he has to write the shuvas. So in the next paragraph, he talks about Eilu Ve'ilu. Aval hu me'atam sha'anachal aniyaz daiti. Source 6. Shehayu rashon emuchuyavin chachmei adoros ha'achronim. The poskim are obligated. Lahoros to paskin. Even if they would be considered nothing in the previous generations, said their Moshe. If somebody's asked a lot of shilas, he has to give the answer. We're getting to the key words. Says their Moshe, even though klapi shmaya, heavenly truth, they didn't get to. Ramosha said there's something called MS klapi shmaya. Even if a rav does not get to that type of MS, avav ha MS lahora kvar nomar lo bashamayim hi. But MS lahora he gets to. Those are Ramosha's terms. MS klapi shmaya and MS lahora. MS regarding psak. MS lahora. If a rav does what he's supposed to do, Ramosha's going to say, and he goes through the proper channels and he does his homework, he reaches a level of MS. MS lahora. Maybe it's not Amos Klapi Shmaya, but Baruch Hu knows that I'm wrong, but it doesn't matter. But Baruch Hu allows the poskim to determine a level of MS. Ela kafisha nira lahachacham, what appears to the chacham, achareisha iin karaui, levara ha'alacha, whose shas of a poskim ki bikocho, is after he went through the shas and halacha according to his power, bikoven rosh, ubi yira me Hashem Yisbarach, and he did it properly with seriousness and yira shemayim, v'nira lo shekenu psak adin, and it appears that this is his psak, hu ha emes lo ra, this is one level of emes, umechuyev lo horos ken, and he has to pask in that way, av im be'etzem galya klapi shmaya, she'enu ken apirush. Even though in Shemayim they know I'm wrong, but if I do what I'm doing and I went through the proper channels, I come to this paskana, that's it. So you could have, according to this, you could have one MS Lo Ra and I could have another MS Lo Ra. You say Mutter, I say Asur, but still that they're both MS. The Al Kazen Emar Shekam Dvarav Divrei Elokim Chayim. That's what Eilu Ve'Eilu means. Me'acher Shelo Nireh Hapirish Kemosha Pasak Lo Yisira LeDvarav. Right, no problem. There's no problem as long as they interpret it that way. There's a story that some of you might have heard. So a woman once came to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Tragic story. And I asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, she was pregnant with a Tay-Sachs baby. A Tay-Sachs baby, Rahman al-Islam, is a terrible disease, degenerative disease. After a couple of years, the baby from birth, degenerative, and the baby dies generally within a couple of years. And she wanted to have an abortion. So the post can say, I mean, abortion, Rahman al-Islam, unless the mother's life is in danger, we don't allow it. Yes, we allow it. We don't believe like the Christians. The Christians say life begins at fertilization. And therefore, according to the Christians, even if the mother's life is in danger, you can't do an abortion. But we don't believe that. We believe life begins at birth, a full nefesh. Beforehand, there's something there with Machal Shabbos for an embryo, where we believe something's there. But if the mother's life is in danger, the mother's life takes precedence. So in this case, there was a situation of a Tay-Sachs baby. So, what else on the post can say? It's terrible, it's tragic, but what can you do? Now, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have tests for it. That's one of the tests that the Dor Yesharim does. You know, you go check if you're compatible or not. So that's one of the tests. They can test for a number of diseases. So they can't, the woman comes from Shlomo Zalman. So there is a well-known psak in this sugya, and that is the psak of the Sis Eliezer, or of Waldenberg, who allowed an abortion of a Tesak's baby even in the seventh month. Seventh month, he allowed it. Nobody else agreed with him. But he allowed it. This woman comes to Shlomo Zalman, and Shlomo Zalman is Posek Ador, and Shlomo Zalman says, I can't give you an answer. Go ask the Sis Eliezer. That was Shlomo Zalman's answer. A lot of Musa you could learn from that story. Number one is the Anava of Shlomo Zalman. Number two is what Shlomo Zalman thought of the Sis Eliezer. It was Mashav him as one of the Gedolei HaPoskim also. But number three is Eilu Ve'Eilu. I came to my Anis L'Horah. But I know if there's another major leaguer out there, he could have his MS Lahora. Shlomo Zalman didn't send him to me. You know, it's not, they're going to be in the same league. You know, that the MS Lahora, if somebody is a Gavra, if somebody is a Barhachi, they could paskin. So MS Lahora, you have your MS Lahora, I have MS Lahora. According to Shlomo Zalman, it's Resicha. It's murder. But according to the Sis Eliezer, it's not. This woman needs that psak. I don't want to give her this psak. Right? You find this in various cases. When they wanted to build, various Erevin, Rav Moshe had certain chumras in Ilchas Erevin. Rav Moshe says, don't ask me. What do you mean, don't ask me? Rav Moshe thinks it's Asur. What do you mean, don't ask me? Because he also knew. He also knew. So again, these are different examples of Poskim who realized, Rav Moshe himself, right here, Emes Lahora. And this even, he relates it to a beautiful Gemara Menachos. So this is, again, cut off. So look on the extra sheet for a minute. This is the bottom of that introduction. So Rav Moshe says, the Gemara Menachos daf chaptes. Amar Yudah Marath, bottom paragraph. B'shah Sha'Allah Moshe Lamarom, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on our Sinai, Matzu LaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'yoshe V'kosher Kisarim Lo'osios. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting and weaving, you know those, the Tagin, we have little lines above certain letters in the Torah. Tagin. Masorah, which letters get how many. So HaKadosh, Moshe saw Hashem weaving these Tagin on top of the letters. So these ksarim. Amar lefan, every bonus shalom. Mi ma'akev al yatzcha. Hashem, what are you doing? But what's the language he used? Mi ma'akev. Who's holding you back? Who's holding you back? Who's forcing you to do this? Strange lashon. Mi ma'akev al yatzcha. Amar lo, Hashem answers. Adam achad yesh v'yakiva ben Yosef shmo. There's going to be somebody named Rabbi Akiva in the future. She'asid lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz. He's going to take every one of these little marks and he's going to darshan 1,000 halachas from every little mark. Unbelievable. Tilin v'tilin shel halachas. That's the Gemara. After Moshe. Number one, what does it mean, that lashon? Who's holding you back? Mi ma'akev. Number two, what's the language of kisarim, crowns? Why are they called crowns? They're called lines. Okay, they're like a crown on a letter. But what's after the letter of crown? The word, the meaning of crowns. So says Rav Moshe, according to my understanding, according to my view of Eilu Ve'Eilu, it fits in beautifully. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is subject to the halacha of whatever the Rabbanan decide. However they darshan the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving power. A crown symbolizes power. Hashem is giving the power to the Chachamim, to Rabbi Akiva. These are crowns for the rabbis. All drushes are crowns. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is held back. He's ma'ukav. Mi ma'akiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is held back by these crowns. By the Rabbanan darshaning these crowns. That's what he says, turning over the page. Ela hiskim, top line. Mitchila la'avanas upirish chachmei HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he was going to be meshuvid to whatever the Rabbanan decide. V'nimsa she'osios HaTorah heim melachim. They're like kings. She'osin kefima she'mashme mi'HaTorah l'chachmei HaTorah. Avshu lailo hayezek havanas Hashem yisbarach. Even if Hashem didn't have this in mind. But it doesn't matter. There's emes lahora and emes shamaimis. So that's why Rav Moshe says, that's why I can write my Sefer. Because I'm probably wrong, says Rav Moshe. I probably, you know, I wasn't mechubit to the Emes, but you know what? I did my best. Emes lahora. And that's all I could do. Right? That's Rav Moshe. They say when Rav Moshe used to walk down the street, my mother tells me in the Lower East Side, that kids used to be playing ball with each other, playing elimination. And the one used to say, Maishi, Maishi! And Rav Moshe would say, what? He mamash thought they were talking to them. I mean, there's some Shlomo Zalman also. I just read a few weeks ago a story. Shlomo Zalman, whenever he used to be sitting at a simcha, and they were about to introduce him, so they used to say, Posek Ador, Gon, Atzum, like all these titles. And Shlomo Zalman didn't say a word. He wasn't upset, he wasn't this and that. The second that he got to the end, Shlomo Zalman, he mamash turned pale. And he hated it. He didn't think they were talking about him up until that point. Must be some other Posek Ador. Until they said his name, what? Must be some other great rabbi here. The second that, every time, they say, right, they write it in his biography. Every time, he never thought they were talking about it, and he hated it. But he had no expression until they said his name. And then he's like, then he showed, because these are Shlomo Zalman or Moshe. These are people that we look to. Anyway, so says Moshe, that's why I'm writing the Sefer. M.S. Lahora. Where else do we have this? We have this from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Says Rabbi Yaakov. We'll skip the Nisif for now. Source number 7. Says Rabbi Yaakov in source 8. It's a nice Dvar Torah just to have also in your back pocket. Just this for Rabbi Yaakov. You can just take out. Nice part. Says Rabbi Yaakov. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says in Bereishis. Second line. Amar Rav Simon. Bishah Shabbat Kadosh Baruch Hu Livros Az Adam Arishon. When Hashem wanted to create Adam, Nasu Malachei Asharis Kitim. The angels started having a fight. V'chaburos chaburos. Teams. Mayhem Omrim Al Yivro Mayhem Omrim Yivro. Some said, it's a great idea. Create man. Others said, it's a bad idea. Don't create man. What were their teams called? What were the names of their teams? Chesed, Vehemet, quotes a pasuk, fine. Chesed Omer Yivra. The Chesed team says, create man. Shehu Gomel Chasadim. He's always does a lot, man does a lot of Chesed. MS Omer Al Yivra. Shekulo Shekarim. The MS team said, forget it. Man's a liar. Tzedek Omer Yivra. Shu Ozit Stokos. Shalom Omer Al Yivra. The Kule Ketata. Right, so it was a fight. It was Shalom and Emes versus Chesed and Staka. Create man or not. So what do you do? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natal Emes v'hishlichu la'aretz. He took Emes, he threw him to the ground. Threw it to the ground. Whatever that means. Hadahu d'chsiv atashlich Emes arsa. Okay? Omru Malachai Sharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachim Sei Rebona Olamim Matam Avaza Taxis Aletexia. What are you doing throwing Emes to the ground? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Mala Emes Ben Haaretz. No, Emes is going to come back up from the ground. So what's going on here? There was a Machlokas, Hashem threw one down, and then he ended up creating the world. So why did they win? So one of the Mefarshim on the Medrash says, oh, it was 2-1. So once he threw one out, then it was 2-1. So Tzedek and Chesed won. Says Rabbi Yaakov, no, it's much, much deeper than that. Says Rabbi Yaakov, HaKadosh, why do you take Emes and not Shalom? Why do you throw Shalom to the ground? Why do you throw Emes to the ground? HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the definition of Emes at that point in history. Emes used to be in Shemayim. And if Emes is in Shemayim, then you're right. Man's a liar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not all MS, and what did he say? He threw it to the ground, and he said, okay, now MS is going to come from the ground. Says Rabbi Yaakov. Middle of the next column. Lefichach, nira li levaer. Dibriya medrash b'ofan pashut, simple. Doha MS apshuta amra, shaha adam umalishkarim. Ultimate MS, what Rav Moshe called MS klapei shmaya. Ultimate MS, MS la amita, says Rabbi Yaakov. So if you look at it from that perspective, the man's a liar. We have so many different opinions. V'im came back, of course he's going to be a bunch of liars. Everybody talks differently. Everybody has different opinions. So what did he do? He threw it to the earth. Meaning, line 22. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm creating a different type of MS. Shoha MS hine yachasit velo hechlatit. What does that mean? Relative truth and not absolute truth. There are relative truths. There are different levels of truth. V'tia MS artis, the MS artis shamaimis. V'nimsa shame'oz yuchal adam lios amiti v'ti madrigaso v'asagaso. Again, like with Moshe, different levels of truth which are created at that time. This is a second approach. And finally, we get to the third idea. The third idea is based on the words of two of the great Rishonim. First, let's see the Ritva. The Ritva there on the Gemara in Erevin quotes the French rabbis. Source number 9. Source number 9, same page. Shalom Rabbani Sarfazal. Hey, Chefshar, Shiyushneim, Dibri Elokim Chayim. Zeh Osef Zeh Matir. Right? The big kash of the day. How could they both be right? Elu ve'elu. The tier two. They answer. Ki sha'ala Moshe lamar makabal Torah. When Moshe went up to our Sinai to get the Torah, her ulo, it was shown to him. Al kol davar v'davar. Memtes panim la'isser u memtes panim la'heter. 49 reasons for more than that. 98 reasons for every halacha. 49 l'tumah, 49 l'tara. For every halacha, Moshe Rabbeinu was showed reasons to say this and reasons to say that. V'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Hashem, what is this? What is this? Is something asur or something mutter? Tamei tahar. V'amar sheyehezeh masur l'chach miYisrael shebechol dor v'dor. V'yiyah hachra k'mosam. Hashem answers, it's up to the Rabbanim. What does that mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu saw all the svaras to this and svaras to that. What is the message of the Ritva? Says the Maharal Miprag. We'll skip the Argadai. Says the same idea. We'll skip that for now. Says the Maharal Miprag at the next source in Beragola. You know what Elu Ve'elu means? He gives a mashal. Let's say you have a tree. Source 11. Let's say you have a tree. And I ask you, what causes the tree to grow? So one of you will say, the sun causes the tree to grow. Another person will say, it's with the water. Water causes the tree to grow. The other person will say, oh, it's the dirt, the nutrients in the grounds that cause the tree to grow. Who's right? Everybody's right. Just depends on your perspective. It depends how you look at it. Everybody's right. There are elements that the sun gives. There are elements that the ground gives. There are elements that the water gives. But they're all right. It just depends on their perspective. Depends on their background. Says the Maharal, that's Torah. Every concept in Torah is complex. Complex means not simple. Complex, multifaceted. Not complex like hard. Complex meaning multifaceted. Every area of Torah is multifaceted. There's nothing that's totally tameh, nothing totally tar. It's a very Kabbalistic idea also. There are nitzotos of Kedusha that we... Right, they say bittel, bittel barov. Oh, but the nitzotos of Kedusha have now come to the fore. So even forgetting the Kabbalah for now. Says the Maharal, there are elements of Tameh, elements of Tahar. What did Moshe Rabbeinu see? For every halacha, this Memtes Panim L'Tahar, Memtes Panim L'Tameh. Because every aspect, every din, every halacha in Torah is multifaceted. And it just depends how you look at it. One rabbi says Asur, one rabbi says Mutter, because they're influenced by their background, by their hashkafis, by their Derech HaLimud. But if they're objective and they research the sugya, they're just looking at it in a different way. Says the Maharal, look at the middle column. There are many different elements. She'ein ha'olam pashut. The olam is not simple. One facet. She'lo yehei bo chiluf b'chinos. Im kein. Ha'metame v'ha'metahir zeh l'amator k'mo ha'sheni. They both learn Torah. Ki l'kol echad ve'echad yesh lo b'china b'fnei atzma. V'ha'shem yisbarach bora atakol. V'hu bora sheyesh lo shnei b'chinos. But Kadosh Baruch Hu created different elements. That's Elu Ve'elu, meaning exactly the same. Not different levels of truth. Multiple truth. Halacha l'maisa, you got to choose one. That's true. What do you do? But in terms of the conceptual analysis, the conceptual value, then they could both be on the exact same level. That's the Ritva, explained by the Maharal, and it's also a Rashi. It's also a Rashi. Which Rashi? So again, this I forgot to give you, so I gave it to you on the extra sheet. The bottom of the after Moshe. Subas Nun Zayin. The Gemara there says, without ever getting into the details of that Gemara, Subas Nun Zayin, the Gemara there has a machlokes of two later Tanaim about what an earlier Tana said. That's what the Gemara there is talking about. So Rav Moshe, commenting on that, says, if you ever have a machlokes like this in the Gemara, one of them is wrong. It's a machlokes, what the rabbi said. So there, somebody's wrong. But says Rashi, if it's not that type of machlokes, like 98% of arguments in the Gemara are not like that, says Rashi, Each one just views the concept differently, from a different element, from a different aspect. And Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. That's what Rashi said. They're each saying their own svara. They're each saying what makes sense to them. But as long as they're not arguing about a betzius, about what took place, so then what a person said, we could say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And just one more source, I'll take the question. The Torah Tzmima in the Sefer on Siddur in Baruch Shamar in source 12 says, all the elements together make up the whole sugya of Torah. Torah is on the bottom of the page, source 12. Torah is called the Shira. Right? Ksova is a Shira Hazos. The end of the Torah, it says that. Why is it called a Shira? Imagine, says the Torah Tzmima, you have an orchestra. You have the violins, and you have the tuba, and you have the oboe, and you have the flute. You have all the different instruments. If you focus on any one of them, it's not going to sound good. If any one of them is missing, it's not going to be as beautiful. Torah, with all the different shittas of every sugya, that's the shira of Torah. That's the shira of any topic. Tameh, tahar, asr, mutar, all the different opinions make up the shira of Torah. Yeah, there's a question. Yeah. About? About what? About Paro? A new king? You're not a good... I'll get right to some things. See, I have some machlokas that seem to be... You have to go deeper a little bit. I don't know if that's machlokas. You could say it doesn't really mean a new king, but something deeper there. But there are some arguments that seem to be Messias. Some machlokas in Sanhedrin, whether there was ever a Bensor Amora. Right? One Amora says, I stood at the kever of a Bensor Amora. The other Tana said, oh, it never happened. It seems to be a machlokas, a Messias. So well, sometimes you have that, but generally we try not to have that. So that is, these are the three different opinions of Elu ve'elu Jibril Kim Chaim. Again, the Chidon, the Ran, Ein Har Nikar Elamitoch HaChoshech, Reb Yaakov, Reb Moshe, and the Nitziv. There are different levels of truth. Emes Lahora, Emes Klapi Shmaya, Emes Shamaimis, Emes Artsis, and finally, the Ritva and Rashi, which the Maharal expands upon, they're exactly the same. It just all depends on perspective. But before we finish this, there are two very important limitations of Elu ve'elu that one has to mention. Number one, Elu ve'elu is great in the Beis Medrash. But when it comes to halacha l'maisa, you got to choose one. A religion can't survive with everybody doing different things. Elu ve'elu can survive in the Beis Medrash. They say Rav Soloveitchik, the Rebbe, was giving a shir, he gave a whole shir on Lundis, on Havdalah, what the purpose of Havdalah, we discussed that actually, Beth Shemar, earlier this year. And this, Lundis, sitting, standing, gave a whole Lundis. So, and somebody, one of the Talmidim came after the shir, he's like, okay, Rebbe, what should I do? He says, what do you mean, what should you do? He's like, no, based on all the Lundis, he's like, do what your father does. So he says, Rebbe, like, do what your father does. So that's it. So there's Elu ve'elu on the Beis Medrash. But after the Beis Medrash, you follow what is done. One doesn't have to be bedafka, you know, it doesn't have to continue into the into action. And number two, Elu ve'elu only applies to people who are entitled to opinions. People are entitled to opinion. When are you entitled to an opinion? If somebody has the experience, if somebody has put in the years of learning, if somebody goes through the poskim properly, if somebody is kafuf to the misora that we have, what did Rav Moshe say? When is somebody allowed to have an emes lahora? Remember his lashon? What did Rav Moshe say? After he was amal v'yaga levar halacha b'shas u'poskim kefi kocho b'kovid rosh v'yirame Hashem yizbarach. Then you could have your opinion. But if somebody doesn't have that, then they're not entitled to an opinion. That's not Elu ve'elu. That's not Elu ve'elu. Says the Rav. He has a beautiful article. I'm sorry, it's a little cut off in source 13, but you probably have it in the library here. In the first volume of Reflections of the Rav, there's a great article called The Common Sense Rebellion Against Torah Authority. Every year you should read that Parshas Korach. Right? That's the Rav's article of Parshas Korach. What was Korach's problem? Korach, he says, when I go into an emergency room, I'm not a doctor. And I go to an emergency room and I would see a patient. You know, I think he needs this medicine. Am I crazy? I didn't go to medical school. I have no idea. Let's say I go over to a bridge and I would say, I think they should have built it this way. What, am I crazy? I have no idea how to build a bridge. No, we're not experienced. But that we all realize. That we all know. I can't give an opinion about a bridge or about medicine because I didn't have the training. But says the Rav, it's amazing how many people haven't learned in yeshiva for 20 years and haven't done the research in the Shas and Poskim, but they can tell us what they think the halach is. Because they think this makes sense to them. Says the Rav, that was Korach. Doesn't make sense to me. Tzitzis, blue. The whole thing is blue. What do you need tzitzis on it for? The common sense rebellion. That's not elu ve'elu. That's not acceptable. You have to be in the league in order to be able to express an opinion. So those are two very important limitations on elu ve'elu. So we have the different opinions, we have the limits, and just to end with the words of the Marshal and the actual Shlomo in Baba Kama, says in the last source, you can look at the Sefer HaChinuch in between, it's about the limitations, says that every Jew that was ever going to be born in history stood at Har Sinai. And Al Pi Kabbalah, every Jew received their own personal Kabbalah Sator. It was a pipe, a spiritual pipe that went from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyacho all the way to every Jew. That's why everybody thinks a little differently. That's why everybody has their own unique connection to Torah. Everybody has their own unique Pintel Yid. So the Marshal says that the basis for Elu Ve'elu, we should all be Zochat, as we bring to a close the year of Tafshin Ayin in the Limud, only another week or so left, that we should all be Zochat to fulfill our own personal connection to Talmud Torah, as we have Baruch Hashem throughout the year, and be Zochat to have our words be part of the world of Elu Ve'elu, Devir Elokim Chai. Next week, I'm still not sure. I'll take it to Shiran, we'll see.